morning, everyone. Wow. Hooday. Well, it's finally here, Super Bowl 51. Some of you don't care at all. Some of you, it's an excuse for a party. Some of us are depressed. You got it, Hooday. All right, how many New England Patriot fans do we have? Let me hear it. Oh, that's weak. Let's hear Falcon fans. Wow, there we go. Okay, we know who's got the balance here. So, you know, every year as the Super Bowl comes, they do this thing because they have to fill up all this airtime prior to the Super Bowl. They talk about, of the two teams, will the winning team, will it be their offense or their defense that wins the game, whichever team wins the game? It's a great conversation to have, you know. And here's the interesting thing. There have been 7 Super Bowls where the number one offense played the number one defense, 7 of them. And the way that works out is that of those 7, the number one defensive team has won 5 out of the 7 times. So who knows? We don't know what, you know, it takes both. You got to have a good offense, a good defense. Today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on this idea of defense. And we're not going to apply it to football. We're going to apply it to our lives. Specifically, we're going to talk about how we protect or defend our heart. We're beginning a new series. It's called At Risk. What's at risk? Our heart. Our hearts are at risk. And I want to just jump into this, and I want us to look at a scripture that's the foundation for this series, as well as the message today. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's page 440 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you, or you got a card when you came in that has that verse on there. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And what I want to do as we begin, I want us to read this verse together. We don't do that very often, but this is a short verse. I think this is helpful for us to verbalize. So let's get ready, grab your card, open your Bible, turn on your device, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and let's read this together. You ready? Here we go. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, that means this is of utmost importance. Guard your heart. That's such a simple message. We're going to unpack what that means. Because it's so important that we guard our heart, because everything about who we are flows from our heart, so we've got to give attention to it. Now, the Bible often refers to the idea of heart, and it's not referring to the organ inside of us that pumps blood. It's talking about all that's inside of us. When the Bible refers to heart, it's this whole inner world inside of us. It's about our thinking. It's about what we believe. It's about our feelings, our emotions. It's about our desires and our will to accomplish something, to do something, to be something. It's about our character. It's about our spiritual life. It's all of this that's inside of us. You see, our hearts are what makes our plans for our lives. It's our hearts that determine what's important or valuable. It's our hearts that decide good things, make good decisions, and it's our hearts that also make bad decisions as well. Our words, our actions flow from our heart. The Bible even commands us to love God with what? All our heart. And we love others with our heart. We invite Jesus into our heart. And so our heart is so critical. You see, we need to protect our heart because our heart, that inside part of us, is what shapes who we are. And so we've got to protect it. And so here's the challenge of this series, and it's the challenge of the message today. Your heart is at risk. Protect it. Your heart is at risk. You've got to protect it. Let me illustrate it with this. There's a young man who had incredible potential. Greatness was in his future in every way. He had amazing gifts and abilities, but he didn't protect his heart. He was so good in football that they called him Johnny Football. His name is Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was an amazing quarterback in college. In fact, he was the first freshman to win the Heisman Trophy and a bunch of other awards. And he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns to be their quarterback. But he was cut after two seasons. Yeah, poor performance, poor play, but also a bad attitude, really bad attitude. Partying all the time, got him into legal troubles. Johnny Manziel is addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, and the spotlight. Had numerous run-ins with the law for his drunken behavior, for his parties, for violence, for fights. Even had a domestic violence charge. He did do one stint in rehab, but didn't seem to make a difference. Because here's the interesting thing, and I don't know that I've ever heard of this before, but he was fired by two agents. He didn't fire the agents. Two agents fired him because he wouldn't go back into rehab. And so today there's not a team that's willing to take on Johnny Football because of all of his antics off the field. It's a sad story of a life that was so promising that went so wrong, went off the rails and literally crashed. Johnny Manziel hasn't learned to protect his heart. I have a hunch, it may not happen, but I have a hunch that maybe a number of years from now, maybe a long time, who knows, that we're going to see a 2020 special with Johnny Manziel. He's going to be tearful, and he's going to talk about how much he wasted and how much he regrets his behavior at that age of his life and how it ruined so much in him. And we're just going to see that regret. You know, last fall we did a series called Awakening. And what we were doing in that series, Awakening, is we were looking at a parable Jesus told, and we were looking at some moments in our lives when God wants to awaken us, the need to connect him. And one of those messages that we did was about regrets. You see, sometimes when we get to that place of regrets, and I hope maybe Johnny Manziel does this someday, he gets to this place where he regrets what he did, that he wants to make a change, he wants to come back to God. And in that series when we did Awakening, maybe some of you were here when we did this, we actually wrote out some of the things that we regretted, and we put them in a wall in our lobby. We called it the Wall of Regret. And that series was about how God can use regrets to draw us back to him. The series we're doing now, this series At Risk, what we're actually doing here is we're saying, how can we allow God to keep us from getting to that place of having regrets so that we don't get to that place where we have that card to fill out, so to speak? And that's what we're going to be focusing on the next a few weeks. The issue is this: our heart is at risk. All of us face temptations that want to get inside of us and damage our heart and damage our behavior, damage our words. All of that comes from our hearts. And so to protect our heart, we need guardrails. Now think about what a guardrail is. When you think about a road, you think about a bridge. You know, bridges have guardrails so that you don't go off the bridge into the water. Roads have guardrails so that you don't go off into a dangerous area, maybe down a cliff. There's even guardrails between roads so that you don't hit oncoming traffic. And the whole purpose of a guardrail is to keep us as safe as possible so that we can get to the destination that we want to get to. Well, what we're talking about is not guardrails on the road. We're talking about spiritual guardrails, moral guardrails, our guardrails that'll protect our heart, because we all need that. Now you think about driving, and maybe you're driving sometime and you get distracted. That happens. Maybe you get sleepy. Maybe the weather is really difficult. There's ice on the road. Doesn't happen a lot in Arizona, but you know, you get ice on the road or snow or you're just slippery, or you're driving a little too fast for the road conditions, and you might. Maybe some of you have actually done this. You might actually bump or nudge against a guardrail. Well, it'll tear your car up pretty well, but it might save your life. And that's what we're talking about in these guardrails, is that these are things in our lives that can, we might bump up against them, we might get scratched a little bit, so to speak, but it's meant to protect us, to protect what's really important in our life, to protect us from financial difficulty and maybe even tragedy, to protect us in the things that are most important in our lives, our relationships, maybe even to protect us professionally. But these guardrails help keep us in a really good place, a safe place in our relationship with God and relationship with the people that matter the most. And the reason we need guardrails is that there are all temptations around all of us. We all experience these temptations. They will never stop, ever stop. So here's what guardrails actually are. Let me just kind of define guardrails more specifically. They're boundaries, they're rules, they're limits in terms of our behavior, of terms of what we will consider, of what we'll get close to. They provide protection against the spiritual dangers that are all around our lives and are and always are coming at us. And let me just give you some examples. These guardrails can hopefully keep us from those deepest regrets. Some example, married couples. Many married couples have guardrails like this. The couple will make the decision and agree to it together that they will not meet privately with a person of the opposite sex. Or they won't engage in a Facebook relationship with an old boyfriend or girlfriend. Why? Because there's risk. There's risk that an emotional relationship could form, which would lead to a physical relationship, which could damage the covenant faithfulness in that marriage. And so these guardrails are set up just to help protect from getting to those dangerous places. Or take an illustration of an alcoholic. So an alcoholic who is sober and has been in recovery, that alcoholic will set up some basic guardrails. One, they will not have a drink. Any drink is off. Maybe you or I, if we're not an alcoholic, we might be able to have a drink once in a while. But for an alcoholic, off limits. Going to a bar is off limits. It's a guardrail. Or a person dealing with a sexual addiction might decide that they've got to put internet filters on all of their devices, and maybe even decide not to have a cable subscription, because that would be a temptation as well. Guardrails are personal guides that warn us. The warning part is that as you're going along in your life, as you get close to that guardrail, you know, warning, that you're getting close to danger. It should set something off inside of us that says you really ought not go there, because you've set this guardrail and you know there's danger there. And they're personal. That your guardrails aren't going to be mine and mine aren't going to be yours, because our temptations are different. There aren't this set of universal guardrails that everybody should do. They're very specific and unique to each and every one of us as we develop them. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want you to think about a place right now where you think your heart might be at risk. I want you to be very specific. What's that one temptation that you know for you is a serious, dangerous temptation? One that you struggle with. One that you just have difficulty with and know could be so damaging to you, your heart, your spiritual life, or the people that are important to you in your life. It could be any number of things. It could be about your physical life, about eating, for example, or it could be about anger, or it could be about gossip. It could be about pornography. It could be about flirting with a relationship that you know is inappropriate. It could be about overspending. It could be about anything in our lives. But I want you to fix that in your mind. I want you to identify one area that you know could be a potential danger to your heart, where you need to protect your heart, where you need to give attention and be able to create some kind of a guardrail. I want you to get that in your mind. Now, as you think about it, I assume that as you think about that, that's something that you want to be strong in, you want to overcome, you want to change. And when we think about that, we oftentimes go to this place of behavior. We think about, if I just do something differently, then I will live differently. Okay, now there's some truth to that. But what happens is that we just naturally want to go and focus on the behavior. This is a behavior that I don't want, or I want to change, or I want to eliminate, and we begin to focus on that, and we focus all about the behavior, and that's not all bad, but it's just not deep enough. See, we got to go further back. If we want to protect our heart, if we want to live the way that we know is to our best interest in our relationship with God, with others, then we've got to come ultimately back to the heart, because all of our behavior flows out of our heart. Let's go back and look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 again. It's on your card. Look again what this proverb says. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? For everything, not something, everything you do flows from it. All your actions, all your words, all your habits, all that flows out of your heart. And so here's the simple principle. If all behavior flows from my heart and I want to change my behavior, then where I really need to work is I need to change my heart. Because if all that flows out of my heart, I'm not really going to fix it if I just focus on the behavior. I've got to focus on my heart as well. I've got to see that there's change that happens there, that the habits, the words, the actions that I want to see changed are changed because there's a change in my heart. Our heart is the source of all that's good or bad. Good or bad, it's all there. And so we want to focus not just on what comes out of it, but where it comes from. If we want to change our life, we got to change our heart. There's just no way around it. That's why we invite Jesus inside of us, into our heart. Because we know that it's Jesus that ultimately changes our heart for the good. That his ways are the right ways, that his values are the right values, that his truth is trustworthy. And so that we rely on that to shape us on the inside. And then that affects how we live and the decisions we make. This is exactly what Jesus said. I want you to turn to another passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 15. It's page 686 in the Bibles on the seats in front of you. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to break into a conversation that Jesus had, but this is what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 18. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. What Jesus is saying is that our actions, our words that come out of us, they come from our heart, and it's those actions and those words and those behaviors, they're what mess us up. And we focus on what they did, but you guys still got to go back to the heart. And then he says in verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. It's out of the heart that comes those things that hurt us so badly. And so if you want to stop a wrong, sexual, immoral behavior, if you want to stop lying, if you want to stop stealing, if you want to stop anything that's going to hurt you, Jesus says, you got to go back to the heart. And you got to look at your heart, because that's what ultimately influences what you do, what you decide, how you live. All of that's there. And so to change that, we've got to change our heart. We've got to allow Jesus to have an influence in our heart. You see, your heart is at risk. You got to protect it. You've got to invite Jesus in to shape it, and then you've got to protect that good that he does inside of us. And so when you come up to this thing in your life that you don't like, that's hurting you, you got to start thinking differently. You got to begin thinking this way. You don't have an anger problem. Maybe everybody around you says you have an anger problem. Maybe you know it. But what you really have is a heart problem. Maybe you think you have an overspending problem, but what you really have is a heart problem. Maybe you're struggling with pornography, but the problem is that you have a heart problem. If you're struggling with gossip, the problem isn't gossip, the problem is a heart issue that you've got to give attention to. You know, we all know about this place in Kentucky called Fort Knox, right? Amazes me how much gold our government is storing there. $180 billion worth of gold. That's a lot of gold. And to protect that gold, our government's built this fort, Fort Knox. It's got tons of granite, tons of concrete, tons of steel, four huge guard houses on each corner of it, and the latest security technology. And to get into the vault, there's not just one combination. Multiple people have pieces of the combination to get into that. I mean, they put a lot of effort to protect that gold. But here's what I want you to know. Your heart is worth more than all the gold in Fort Knox to God. You know, God doesn't care about the gold in Fort Knox. He can pick that lock with no problem. He cares about your heart. That is more valuable to him than all of the work that we put in to protect the gold at Fort Knox. And so that's why God says to us in his word, Proverbs 4:23, protect your heart, guard your heart. It's the most important thing about your life, when that's why we need to set guardrails to protect our heart. Now, guardrails are in every way countercultural, which shouldn't surprise us, because God calls us to live countercultural lives, meaning God wants us to live in such a way that we're different than the world, the culture around us. And that's why when our culture hears about our guardrails, they think, those are kind of silly. Really? You know what? Guardrails are only for people who are weak. Guardrails they limit your freedom. They're an inconvenience. They just interfere with life. That's how the world looks at guardrails. And I think in some ways that's true. They are for the weak. They are an inconvenience. They do limit our freedom. All of those things are true. But you see, a wise person knows where their weaknesses are. This is true in any aspect of life. A wise military not only works on its abilities and strengths, but also always looking for where the weakness is, because somebody's going to exploit that. We have an evil one that wants to exploit our weaknesses, and we need to understand and know that we all have weaknesses. We all have vulnerabilities. And so that's where we set up those guardrails, wherever it might be that we have those vulnerabilities, those weaknesses in our lives. So if you're tempted by pornography, you not only install internet filters on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, you go a step farther. A number of people who struggle with pornography on their phones, and many of our phones do this, before you can add an app to your phone, you have to have somebody else put the password in, like your spouse or a good friend. Now, that's exactly what I said. That's inconvenient. That means I got to wait till that person's around to be able to install that app. But that's exactly why we do it. It's to protect us and to help us in that area where we might be weak. My wife and my admin have all my passwords. Now, the reason I do that is because I don't want there to be any place in my life where I can potentially have a secret. It's one of my guardrails. And so my wife and my admin, they see all of my stuff. They see my calendars. They see my emails. They see my contacts. They see my Facebook. They see it all. I want them to have access to that. I want to know that there is no part of my life that I can keep secret. And I want that, and I want to protect myself that way. I've made the choice that I will not meet privately with a woman. I won't meet privately with someone of the opposite sex. I want to protect my heart. I want to protect my marriage. I want to protect the other person. I don't want to get in a situation where there could be issues that would damage me and my marriage. Your heart is at risk. Protect it. It's that important. Let me talk about some practical ways. We're going to do this over the next few weeks, but let me just begin with some practical ways that we can protect our heart. One of the best ways is to have God's word in our heart. That it's not just in the book, it's not just ink on a paper, and it's not even just something we know about, but it's really in our heart. And the way that we get God's word in our heart is we memorize it. And so I want to give you an assignment. I want to challenge you to memorize. I want you to memorize Proverbs 4:23. That's a great place to begin, because here's what happens. When God's word is in our heart, remember, heart is all that's inside of us. When God's word is in us, then God's Holy Spirit will use that to remind us. And we might be in a situation where, remember, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So I want to challenge you. Take this card, take it home, put it in an obvious place, memorize it. It's a very short verse to memorize. And then God can use that to begin to develop that in you. Now what we've been saying all along is that our heart is the most important thing. We have to protect it. But I want to even go farther than that. That means that we need to allow Jesus to continually be at work in our heart, inside of us. We need to allow Jesus to continually shape our heart. In fact, he constantly will renew our heart. That's critical. That's a lifelong effort. That is not something you did once in your life. I gave my life to Jesus and Jesus gave me a new heart and then I'm done. No, it's an everyday experience that we have to do. I want to show you a promise that's made by God in the Old Testament. Don't turn there, just listen to it. But I'm going to tell you where it's found. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Let me read it to you. This is God speaking. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I love this. God is saying that I, God, can give you a new heart. Because there's a tendency for all of us for our heart to go to stone, to get really hard. A heart of stone is a heart that's resistant, that's hard to God, that's not open to God. And we need to constantly have that heart changed, renewed, from being hard, resistant, not open to God, to being open and welcoming of God's influence in our lives. That's a constant, consistent process that we need to be involved in and be focused on. And we need what I call the prayer of the heart. Here's how I define the prayer of the heart. The prayer of the heart is a consistent, heartfelt prayer that says, God, open my heart to you. Soften my heart that I would be open to what you want and what you want to say to me and how you want me to become and be and do. God, help me be welcoming and surrendering to who you are and what you want. That is a consistent process that we have to stay in, asking God to do that work. And then as God does that, we protect it. That good that's there, we have to be able to protect. Now, it's not easy then to set up the guardrails. So we've got God's word in our heart. We engage in the prayer of the heart where we're asking God to soften our heart and open ourselves to him. And then we've got to create those guardrails that actually help us protect our heart. And that's hard to do because sometimes we don't know what those guardrails are that we should be or how to develop them, and we need help in that. So we're going to provide some additional help. We're going to do this series that'll help you that, but also there's a six-week study that's done by Andy Stanley. It's called Guardrails. And it's a great study where he walks you through how you create these guardrails, the kinds of guardrails that'll be helpful. And we're making this six-week study available to everyone. What I'd really like you to do is I'd really like you to do it in a group. So if you're in a group, I just urge you to do this study together, 6 weeks. If you're not in a group, we've got some groups that are starting where you can join one of the groups that's going to do this six-week study. Or you could start one, and we'll help you do that. On that card where the scripture is on the back, there's the reference to where you can get access to this study called Guardrails. It's available through a tool that we're making available free to everyone here. It's called Right Now Media. Right now, media has this six-week study, as well as tons of other things that'll be helpful to you. And all you need is a smart TV or a streaming device like Roku or the number of different apps that do that. There's all kinds of ways you can use a computer or a tablet even to do that. If you don't know how to do that, we'll help you. All you have to do is right after the service in the courtyard, you'll see a little tent over there by the next steps, and we'll help you get in a group or help your group to do this. We'll help you figure out how to get access to Right Now Media. All of that will help you do that. Well, what I want to encourage you to do is go the next step. Don't just take what we're going to teach here, but go even deeper with this study to figure out how to set up really good, healthy guardrails that will help protect your heart. But here's where it all starts. It all comes back to this place. It all begins when we invite Jesus to be inside of us. When we invite Jesus into our heart, that's where it all begins. Because it's only Jesus who can create a good heart. It's only Jesus that can renew our heart. It's only Jesus that can soften that heart of stone. And that's where it all begins, as we invite Jesus inside. We're giving him control of our heart. We're giving him primary influence in our heart to shape who we are, what we believe, the decisions we make, how we treat people, how we look at life. We allow Jesus to do that. And then we make this decision, I'm ready to follow Jesus in his ways. And I want to just encourage you to make that decision. You know, today in the Super Bowl game, there may be that one play where the coach or even the quarterback will make that critical decision that'll make all the difference. This is that critical decision. It makes all the difference in the world. I want to encourage you to make the decision to follow Jesus, to invite him in, to give him control of your life. Jesus says when you get to that place, and you're ready to make that commitment, we make that promise in a thing called baptism. In water baptism, we promise Jesus, God, Jesus, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart to the best of my ability going forward. We're going to have an opportunity today for baptisms. We had a whole bunch this morning at our 9 o'clock service. This is an opportunity to say, I'm ready to begin. And this is really how I'm going to start to create and protect a heart that honors God. And so I want to encourage you to do that. In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. As we do that, if you're ready, I want you to come down here to the door to your left. Now, I'll be there. A whole bunch of people will be there. If you're in our Coop Court Cafe, come on over. If you're in the courts here, wherever you're at, don't hesitate. Just come. We have everything you need. We've got changing rooms, we've got change of clothes, we've got towels, and people that'll help you with whatever questions you have. So don't hesitate. This is an opportunity to say, I'm gonna put Jesus first in my life. I'm gonna let him shape my heart. I'm gonna live in a different way. So I want you to stand. I want you to sing with us, and as we do this, come, take this opportunity to give Jesus your heart.